This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Rick Lindquist, WW1ME in Ellsworth, Maine, and this is ARRL Audio News for Friday, November 19th, 2021. Before we dive into the news, we have this note regarding the Thanksgiving holiday. ARRL headquarters will be closed on Thursday, November 25th, and Black Friday, November 26th for the Thanksgiving holiday. The ARRL letter will not be published on Thursday, November 25th, and this program, ARRL Audio News, will not be produced on Friday, November 26th. There will be no W1AW bulletin and code practice transmissions on either day. ARRL headquarters will reopen on Monday, November 29th at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and of course, ARRL wishes you a safe and enjoyable holiday. Okay, let's get down to the news. ARRL and the Orlando Amateur Radio Club will host the 2022 ARRL National Convention and Orlando Hamcation on February 10th through the 13th. The convention theme, Rediscover Radio, highlights radio amateurs' commitment to developing knowledge and skills in radio technology and radio communication. Convention organizer and ARRL Director of Public Relations and Innovation, Bob Inderbitzen, NQ1R, says there will be expert presenters, community building opportunities, and plenty of social time to celebrate being together with friends. And he adds, who doesn't love Florida in February? The convention will kick off on Thursday, February 10th, with a series of morning and afternoon training tracks and a national convention luncheon. Registration is now open for Thursday's program at www.arrl.org/expo, and an early bird registration rate of $75 is in effect through December 15th. The National Convention training tracks are workshops providing an in-depth learning experience in one of the 4 track topics. Contest University is one of them. That's a first for Orlando. There's also Emergency Communications Academy, a hands-on handbook workshop, and a Technology Academy. Russia tested an anti-satellite weapon on November 15th, destroying Cosmos 1408, one of its old and now defunct satellites, launched in 1982. Cosmos 1408 was some 300 miles above Earth. Its destruction generated a debris field in low Earth orbit that prompted the 7 International Space Station crew members, including one Russian cosmonaut, to take cover in their crew capsules for several hours in case they had to abandon the station. NASA Chief Bill Nelson explained that this action was based on a risk assessment by the Debris Office and ballistics specialists at Johnson Space Center in Houston. Occupants of the Chinese space station are reported to have taken similar action. The incident also generated criticism from many corners, as well as a grave discussion on the possible impact of any future such tests by Russia or anyone else. The danger of damage to the ISS or an orbiting satellite aside, tracking a debris field that could include thousands of pieces in order to head off a collision is a concern all its own. AMSAT President Robert Bankston, KE4AL, said that Russia's action will pose a threat to all activities in low Earth orbit for years to come, placing satellites and human spaceflight missions at risk. As he explained, space is already crowded, but now there are at least 1,500 trackable fragments and possibly hundreds of thousands of smaller yet still threatening pieces of debris in low Earth orbit. Space stations can move out of the way, but most satellites cannot and face greater risk of catastrophe. Bankston said AMSAT is closely monitoring the situation and is hoping for the best. This is ARRL Audio News, heard in Cookeville, Tennessee, Tuesdays at 8:30 p.m. on the 147-21 repeater. courtesy of the Cookeville Repeater Association. Time now for the AMSAT report. A lot of new hams are venturing into amateur radio satellites, whether you prefer CW, SSB, FM, or digital. There's a satellite to suit your taste. Unlike solar flares and all other different layers of the atmosphere, satellite operators only have to worry about the satellite's footprint, its coverage on the face of the Earth. If you're in the footprint and the satellite elevation is high enough for your antennas to see it, you can work through that satellite. Satellite passes are short. They last anywhere from a few minutes if you're on the edge of a footprint to about 20 minutes if the satellite is passing directly overhead. Good starter satellites are the FM EasySats, which include some APRS satellites. The CWSSB satellites are a bit more challenging. To get answers to your questions, the AMSAT bulletin board is a wealth of knowledge. Someone there will be able to help you through the learning process. Go to amsat.org and click on Services to subscribe. And AMSAT wishes everyone a happy Thanksgiving. The AMSAT report comes to us each week, courtesy of Bruce Page, KK5DO. The Fairlawn, New Jersey Amateur Radio Club recently hosted a coffee talk with Larry Van Horn and 5FPW, an expert on monitoring military communications, including via satellite. Here's just a little bit of what he had to say.
There's sometimes some very interesting communications down in the what we call the Federal Military LMR, which is the land mobile radio low band frequencies from 30 to 50 megahertz, right below the 6 meter band. The primary mode that most of the military aircraft do use down there are going to be, believe it or not, FM. You may hear A-10 communications down there. You may hear aircraft on various bombing ranges around the country. You may hear aircraft from other places around the world. When the Iraq conflict broke out and we were sending armor into Iraq, this band was hot with tank activity. Some of it was in the clear, most of it was not, but it was still interesting to be able to know what was going on and just to be able to sort of take in what was going on over there. And we just so happened to be at a high end of the sunspot cycle. So we were getting some pretty good propagation out of the Middle East during that time frame.
Larry Van Horn, N5FPW, an expert on monitoring military communications, who spoke recently in a virtual presentation for the Fairlawn, New Jersey Amateur Radio Club. ARRL Audio News is heard in Lewisburg, Tennessee, Mondays at 6:45 p.m. on the 146625 repeater, courtesy of the Marshall County Amateur Radio Society. Isn't it always the way? The big DX contest, and talking about the CQWWDXCW, is looming. And dag nabbit, does anybody really say that? The sun is not cooperating. Tad Cook, K7RA in Seattle, reports new sunspots appeared on November 14th and 16th, but solar activity was lower, as was geomagnetic activity. Average daily sunspot numbers declined from 36.4 last week to 30.9 in the November 11th through the 17th reporting week. Predicted solar flux averages will hover around 80 into early December. Space weatherwoman Tamitha Scove, WX6SWW, offers her take on things. And keep in mind, sometimes space weather can change fast.
We've really kind of quieted down when it comes to solar flux. We're sitting in the high 80s right now, moving into the mid 80s, and likely it's going to stay like that easily through the end of this week and into next week before we start seeing more regions rotate into view that could actually boost that solar flux back up again. So amateur radio operators and emergency responders expect marginal radio propagation on Earth's day side.
Space weatherwoman Tamitha Scove, WX6SWW. GB102ZE and GB2ZE will be on December 1st through the 26th to mark the first personal message sent across the Atlantic Ocean from ham to ham on December 12th, 1921. In Scotland that day was 2ZE Paul Godley, who went to the UK representing ARRL to attempt the test. The Androssen Scotland Area Crocodile Rock Amateur Group is handling this commemorative operation. With authorization from the U.S. Navy's Third Fleet Spectrum Manager, the Battleship Iowa Amateur Radio Association, Incorporated, and the Iowa's Innovation and Engineering Team will activate the ship's Legacy Navy NEPM call sign on December 7, 2021, 1600 to 2359 UTC, to commemorate Pearl Harbor Day. NEPM will transmit on 14.781.5 and listen on 14.343. And that's ARRL Audio News for Friday, November 19th, 2021. For a deeper dive into these stories and other amateur radio news, check the ARRL website, www.arrl.org, or subscribe to the ARRL letter via your ARRL website member profile. Let us know if you're listening by email to audionews@arrl.org. This past week, we heard from Joseph, KO4TCY, in North Carolina. For now, I'm Rick Lindquist, WW1ME in Ellsworth, Maine. We'll see you next time, everybody.
ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.